Okay, then. So let's focus on the very recent Lionesses squad selection from Serena Wiegmann ahead of next month's UEFA Women's Euros competition. Of course, England, the defending champions. And there's lots to discuss about this squad selection. So we're joining me to discuss that now in detail is sports journalist Freddie Cardi. Freddie, how's it going? You okay?
Yeah, really well, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Yeah, very good. And I'm looking forward to the Women's Euros. And yeah, it's just, but there is a lot to discuss and a lot to unpack with recent developments within the Lionesses at the moment. So it promises to be a fascinating tournament ahead. So I think what we'll do is we'll start off first with our area of local interest. So, of course, Millie Bright from Chesterfield originally and grew up as well in Killamarsh, and that's where she started her football career. But Millie Bright, of course, will not be at the Women's Euros. So if we have a look very briefly at the statement she put out recently, I'll not go through the whole thing, but she said that she's decided to withdraw from selection for the England squad ahead of Euro 2025. As much as I want to be out there running through brick walls for England and fighting alongside my teammates, stepping back is the right thing for my health, my future in the game, and most importantly, the team. So, yeah, I mean, I know Millie Bright had obviously was not selected either for the recent Women's Nations League game. So we knew she was obviously suffering from, I guess, burnout really from the season just gone. But it still came as a little bit of a shock to me when I saw she wasn't being going to be selected for the Women's Euros either. What was your first reaction?
Yeah, I think the difficult thing for England now is that, you look at Mary Earps, Fran Kirby and Millie Bright sort of all making various decisions. And actually, all of them individually have quite different reasons. But I think, I was listening to the radio this morning and there's now people going, has Serena Wiegmann lost the dressing room? They're almost lumping all three of these decisions in together. And with a month to go until the opening game, it's not the best place for the squad to be in. And sort of the Kirby one, I understand. Millie Bright, all power to her making this decision. The Earps one, I think, is the most controversial. And that's a whole different conversation. But Bright plays a lot of football. She's an ever-present really for Chelsea. She's been so good for them for so many years. And we see more of this, I think, across a lot of sports. And I think women's sport and women's football in particular, you see a lot of it in cricket as well on the women's side. I think it is easier to talk about this and to be open about mental health than perhaps the men's game, which has these stigmas sort of more than on the women's side. And it's a massive decision by Millie Bright, and she's been obviously being rallied behind by fans and her teammates, but football-wise, it's a massive loss for England. But we can only hope that Millie's doing okay, because to withdraw from a European Championships with England trying to defend their title as well, we only hope she's doing well and has got the right people around her.
Yeah, of course. Never an NDR sport, of course. Wishes Millie all the best and hope she's back playing as she usually would be for the start of the next domestic season. So, yeah, so Millie Bright not in the squad. So that will be a blow for England. But of course, she's not the only person that will not be in this squad for Euro 2025. So Mary Earps, as well as Fran Kirby, have announced their retirement. So, just to reiterate, Millie Bright hasn't retired from international football. She's just withdrawn from selection for the Euros. But obviously, it's raised speculation that there might be something a bit off with the camp. But do you just think that these are just individual decisions that all have happened to come around the same time? And it's just a bit unfortunate for Serena Wiegmann rather than there being some sort of dressing room issue.
Yeah, it's interesting, and whether more will come out maybe after the tournament. I mean, Kirby's only 31, but she's obviously sort of thinking this is probably going to be her last international tournament. She's struggled before with fatigue, I think, a couple of years ago. And it's so difficult, at the moment to be a top level footballer. And I can understand her decision in a way, and almost just saying, right, I'm going to draw a line through my career, my England career now, focus on playing for Brighton, where she's had a really good season. I think Kirby's experience will be missed. I wonder maybe if she's a player England could have taken, to be around the squad. I think she could have come on and made an impact, but with, sort of the talent, the likes of Grace Clinton, Jess Park in midfield. I can sort of understand her not being called up. The Mary Earps one, I just don't think reads particularly well. And again, I think maybe we'll get more information coming out on this. But Mary Earps would have been in this squad. Yes, she wouldn't have been the first choice goalkeeper. But you only need one injury for Hannah Hampton, and then Mary Earps plays every game at this Euros. And it's hard because there's been some quite different reporting on it from maybe different newspapers. I think one sort of said about there's been conversations going on about Earps's retirement for the last year, whereas another one said this was a shock decision and Serena Wiegmann wasn't particularly happy. And I think she'd be in her rights to, because it's a big decision to not only just accept you're going to be second choice, but then just say that'll do it for. I think the struggle with Mary Earps is I think she's going to have a long career doing whatever she wants, perhaps in the media. I think you look at the route Jill Scott's gone down, where the thing is with Earps is she's gone to PSG, who don't take women's football massively seriously in a country that, compared to England, don't have the eyes on women's football as much. And she's even been sort of dropped to the bench of PSG. And what she almost deserves and what she's done is she wants to be in the limelight, I think, Mary Earps. And she's. When she's played for England, when she's played for Manchester United, she's earned that position. And maybe, when she was looking at that move to Arsenal and that didn't quite work out, and maybe the PSG move just has not been what she hoped it to be. But yeah, a big decision, and leaves England with an uncapped goalie and Ciara Keating coming in, and a lot of pressure on Hannah Hampton.
Yeah, so I think it's probably time we should focus on who is actually in the squad, because the squad has been announced, and yeah, it's some very interesting selection. So we'll go from department to department. So as you've just touched on, probably the most intriguing one to look at is the goalkeeping situation. So the goalkeepers selected are Hannah Hampton for Chelsea, Ciara Keating for Manchester City, and Anna Morehouse for Orlando Pride. There's a lot of pressure, isn't there, on Hannah Hampton? Because if she has a bit of a dodgy first game, and it's a hard group that England are in as well, there's a lot of pressure on them. It then puts pressure on the two reserve goalkeepers, because Keating and Morehouse don't really have much international experience, do they?
No, and this is where I'm not a massive fan of the Earps decision, in all honesty, unless probably we find out more about why it's been made, is that, she has become England's number one, Hannah Hampton, and I think she's merited that. You look at what Chelsea have done this season and how well she's done there, because she sort of came in at Chelsea, where I think they still had Ann-Cathrine Berger, Musovic, I think the other goalie, and they had some competition for that spot, and she had to work her way in to become Chelsea's number one. And I think she has earned this position with the Lionesses. But actually, if you go to the Euros with two very strong goalkeepers rather than two uncapped goalkeepers, I think you are in a better position. Hampton, will play every game now, it's more than likely. I don't watch as much of the NWSL in terms of Orlando Pride, but Morehouse has been around the England squad for the last few years. Keating's not always Manchester City's first choice. So again, the goalkeeping stocks aren't really great at all in terms of England's depth. So it could be a little bit of a worry, but I think Hannah Hampton's well placed going into this tournament.
Let's have a look at the defenders selected then. So we've got Lucy Bronze for Chelsea, Jess Carter for Gotham, Neve Charles for Chelsea, Alex Greenwood for Man City, Maya Letizia for Man U, Esme Morgan from Washington Spirit, Leah Williamson for Arsenal, and Lottie Wubben-Mooi for Arsenal as well. So I've got a funny feeling you'll be very happy to see those Arsenal players in there, Freddie. Just for listeners not aware, Freddie covers the Arsenal women's team in a lot of detail in his career as well. But are there any surprises in those defensive selections, or are all those selections to be expected from Serena Wiegmann?
Yeah, I think less surprises in there. I think Wubben-Mooi is probably the player who's come in for Bright. And now you look at that England team, it's going to be that Greenwood and Williamson centre back pairing. I think in all of England's important games. But there's a lot of good depth there. I think Maya Letizia, or Maya, I think it is, has had a really good season. But only seems to play at full back for England. And Serena Wiegmann was asked about that the other day, and that she plays every game for Manchester United at centre back, but only plays for England at full back. And she didn't really explain it. I think the full backs will be interesting because Lucy Bronze, sort of in some of Chelsea's toughest games, has struggled this season. You look at the two semi-finals against Barcelona, and Jess Carter has gone over to Gotham, former Chelsea defender. She struggled against Spain the other night. So maybe those full-back spots are where it'll be interesting, because Greenwood, I'd imagine, as I say, will tuck in at centre back alongside Williamson, which is good for that balance at the side. You'd like having a left-footed centre back in, and Greenwood again has had a really good season. So yeah, feeling good about the defensive stocks, as much as Bright is a big miss.
Yeah, looking at the midfielders, and there'll be a few players here that many people will recognise. So Grace Clinton for Manchester United, Jess Park for Man City, Georgia Stanway for Bayern Munich, Ella Toon for Man U, and Kira Walsh of Chelsea. Not actually many midfielders there. Is that just because some of the forwards selected can also play a bit back on the pitch as well and revert to a midfield role?
Yeah, not massively, to be fair. It's a valid question, but the only other player I'd look at who stepped into midfield before would be Williamson, but it would be a big call to sort of move her out from defence. The interesting thing is you look back at that Euro 2022 squad, and Jill Scott really played an important role, particularly in the final, in terms of having that experienced player to come off the bench and help see out games. And I don't really see that in this England squad. Stanway's come back from injury. Her and Walsh are the key pair. But you saw in the Spain game the other day, Missy Bocairns comes on for her debut. And, Spain's midfield is probably the best in the world. And it was a real baptism of fire for Missy Bocairns. And there's a lot to like about Clinton and Park. Toon could be in the forwards category, so I just worry a little bit, especially with Stanway coming back from injury, in terms of these defensive midfielders. And Clinton can do a good job there, and she has done for Manchester United. Park's a good player, but again, probably would play a bit further forward. I just worry about the defensive side of that midfield.
And let's look at the forwards then, because there's plenty of them and some really interesting choices. So Michel Agumang, who's been at Brighton but I think is on loan from Arsenal, Aggie Beaver-Jones of Chelsea, Lauren Hemp of Man City, Lauren James of Chelsea, Chloe Kelly, who I think is technically still at Man City but on loan at Arsenal, Beth Mead at Arsenal, and Alessia Russo from Arsenal. So plenty of familiar names there. But tell me more about Michel Agumang, because she scored a goal recently for England, didn't she? Where it was such a great finish, and I think it was on her debut as well. Is she someone who has a very, very bright future ahead of her?
Yeah, absolutely. And she has scored a lot of goals at age group level for England as well. And she's tall, she's physical, she puts herself about. And I think that's why she's done so well, sort of coming through the under 17s, under 19s, under 21s. And I think it's the under 19 Euros as well this summer. So there was talk, about whether actually she'll be focused for that because, realistically, she is unlikely to heavily feature. She certainly won't start. It will be a toss up mainly between Russo and Beaver-Jones, but it's fantastic to see. She's made the decision to go on loan to Brighton. I'm pretty confident she'll be a part of the Arsenal squad, and almost these England selections mean it would be crazy if Arsenal send her on loan again. As you say, she took her goal so well against Belgium, and that was assisted by Williamson. She's a real poacher. A lot of her goals, in and around the penalty area for Brighton this season have been just a case of being in the right place in the right time, and I think her physicality is a massive asset. And Alessia Russo does have that. But as you may, I think there will be game states potentially in this tournament where actually they may look to throw her in and, be someone who could hold the ball up front, put herself about, help see games out. And at 19 years of age, Serena Wiegmann is obviously a massive fan of her to be giving her this call up.
And when I look at those list of forwards, I mean, there's so much talent and quality there. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, well, yeah, that's a team that can definitely win another Euros again. But is it a fair comment to say that England are a lot stronger going forward than what they are defensively, especially now that Millie Bright is not going to be there at all for the tournament?
Yeah, I think so. But I think tactically under Serena Wiegmann, it's been a bit of an issue in terms of scoring goals. The Spain game after they went 2-1 down, they just didn't look creative enough, and that's going to be really interesting. France are a very, very good defensive side. I think they've left Wendy Renard out of the squad, which is surprising, but they have a lot of depth at the back. The Netherlands have had a bad international break. They got thrashed by Germany, which is probably good news for England fans, but Wales as well are a very well organized side, and with it being the England Wales rivalry, there's always a potential upset there, I think, and it is a really tough group. But England do have these players up front, and if Lauren James can find full fitness, to sort of start of the tournament, it's always an England thing. There's always a player who's called up and we're not sure about the fitness, men's or the women's, and there's always that talk about her, and she is, she's such a unique player, and she can make a massive difference if she is fit. But there's a lot to like about that forward line. Certainly, the variety of options. But as I say, I just worry about the midfield against some of these top teams and England controlling the games. And it does feel like, as you say, there's been almost more talk about the players not in the squad than the ones in it. And England will want to start well to sort of put that to bed.
And now that, because I think England have got just one more game before the Euros starts, which is a friendly against Jamaica. How do you see England getting on? Because I can't quite predict it. I can't work it out because there's been a few, obviously, off the field incidents where players have dropped out for various reasons, which is not ideal. But then England did also hammer Portugal recently 6-0, but then disappointed a bit against Spain. They're in this very tough group with Wales, the Netherlands, and France. I really don't know what to expect. Does anyone know what to expect from this England side at the Women's Euros?
Yeah, it's not a great indictment of the side. I think that you look at the Euro 2022 winners, and 3 years later, we're wondering if they can get out the group. And I think there is a lot of pressure on Serena Wiegmann from fans and the media alike, and these players who have sort of retired, or pulled out of the squad. And they, as I say, I just don't think, apart from the Earps one, you can put that at Wiegmann's door, to be honest. But as I say, maybe more will come out about that. But you look at that opening game against France, exactly a month today as we record this, it is absolutely huge. If you lose that, and then Netherlands, they should have the squad, they should have the players to be able to have a strong case of getting out of the group. As I say, Wales are going to be a really tough test. I watched them against Ireland in the qualifier to get to the Euros, and they've got players who can hurt you. And I just think if England don't get off to that good start against France, it's going to be really, really tough because the Netherlands and Wales will be really up for it. So yeah, it's massive. There's big pressure on this team to retain the trophy.
And just finally, Freddie, how important is it for the growth of the women's game in this country that England have another strong major tournament? Because we all know England won the last Euros, they got to the final of the most recent Women's World Cup. But we know as well, in terms of the grassroots of the game, there's still a lot of areas where the women's game needs to be improved and, to be frank, needs to be taken more seriously by clubs. We've already seen Blackburn Rovers women's sides, be demoted because the owners of the men's team won't provide the necessary funding for Blackburn to compete at Tier 2. We've also seen Barnsley's women's side. I don't even think they've even got a place now in this coming season's women's pyramid because they're not able to fund their semi-professional women's side. And it just shows how fragile the women's game is. So how important is it that England continue to do well internationally to keep this growth in women's football and keep this interest going in the game?
Yeah, very. And with the 2022 tournament being in England, that was such a catalyst. And then unfortunately the next one's on the other side of the world in Australia, and they were very well supported over there, but it felt like a long way from home. With Switzerland, it's in a much better location in terms of fans being able to go out there, cheer them on. Everyone loves the European Championships in the middle of the summer. I'm definitely really looking forward to this one. And England do have the pressure on them. And some of these star players like Mary Earps now not being in the squad, keeping this interest in the side. And we've seen sort of the top level attendances have dropped off maybe a little bit this season. And this does feel like a pivotal time. And I just think with regards to the teams like Blackburn and as you mentioned, there's just a bit of a disconnect between the top and further down the pyramid. You know, the WSL's had a whole rebranding and a lot of things like that going on this summer with sort of the new ownership. And it's just almost a lot of talk, but without a lot of action where it's needed further down the pyramid. And, you know, the top teams and the Chelsea spending a lot of money, Arsenal spending a lot of money, but you know, this has to be backed up by the grassroots level. And I think that does come into focus as well. You know, when we look at a squad like this and are saying, where are the options? Where are the midfielders? Where are the goalkeepers with more experience? When England are in the limelight, then the conversations goes back to, are we producing enough players? Is the grassroots structure there for players to come through? It's still a very middle class sport, I think, women's football as well. There are these barriers, certainly the diversity issue is more prevalent in the women's game than the men's. So yeah, I think there is a lot of pressure on this side, and hopefully England, you know, can go all the way, and hopefully a lot of fans can get out there and back them and also watch them back home.
Okay. Well, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens, but it's been very interesting as well to finally see Serena Wiegmann's squad announcement ahead of England's campaign at the Women's Euros. So just for any listeners that missed it earlier, Millie Bright has not been selected because she withdrew from selection there to prioritise her mental health. So all the best to Millie, and hopefully she'll be back for the start of the domestic season. As normal. So thanks for your time, Freddie. It's been fantastic speaking to you. You do a bit of behind the scenes work, don't you, at Derbyshire County Cricket Club? Are you going to be around for the Nottinghamshire game? Yeah.
Yeah, I will. Hopefully by the time you're on air, then Derbyshire will be all over Notts. And yeah, hopefully see you up at Chesterfield for the festival later on in the summer as well.
That's the plan. That's the plan. As long as it doesn't rain like it is right now, because it's absolutely horrible. So, yeah, hopefully, hopefully. Well, thanks for your time, Freddie. Pleasure speaking to you, and I'm sure we'll speak to you again a bit later on in the year. So, thanks for your time, Freddie.
You're very welcome anytime.